The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. It's always great to meet people that are out there doing amazing things for the Lord. I had the opportunity to do just that very thing several months back. A man came in to put on in Orlando for a lot of local leaders, and I was privileged to be invited to put on a two-day workshop called Transformational Leadership. And the person behind all of that is Ford Taylor. He is an incredible speaker and motivator, and he is helping now leaders in cities across America to really learn what they need to do, to take the steps they need to take to see their cities draw closer to the Lord and make a difference where they are. Ford Taylor, it is wonderful to have you on my program. Welcome.
Well, hello, Mike. Thank you very much, and thank you for all the lives you're impacting as you reach out and do what you do and are serving so many people. It's an honor to be on your show with you. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Ford. And I'm not kidding you when I say that 2 days was eye-opening. I think, you know, I'd like to kind of start with, if you would, how it is that God drew you to do what you do today, because you are traveling all of the time. You're in city after city, helping those city fathers in the pastorate, in the business leadership, helping them to make a difference for the Lord. How did you get to do all of this?
Well, Mike, you know, my background is a businessman. When I was 25, I bought a company that was 1 foot in the door of bankruptcy. And by the grace of God, it worked. And over the next 16 years, we were blessed that we became the largest decorated sportswear apparel company in our industry in America. And on that rise to the top, you know what they say about pride and arrogance, what happens, you know, being on the front of the trade journals and, you know, being $190 million bigger than our next biggest competitor. And, you know, I had a lot of arrogance, a lot of pride. You know, a lot of insecurity. You know, I tell people today that if you'll show me the most arrogant person in the room, I'll show you the most insecure. I had a major moral failure. God really got a hold of me, brought me back into the fold. 2 years after I started getting my act together, I shared with my wife what I had done. And I knew she was going to leave me. I had zero doubt about it when I shared it with her. I felt God had called me into the city reaching, and she actually heard me give the first speech on city reaching 2 days before I shared with her what I had done. And people who know us, one guy wrote a book and said her response was literally beyond human comprehension. And when I said to her, I know you're going to leave me. None of this is on you. It's 100% my fault. There'll be no divorce proceedings. 100% of everything we own is yours. All I ask is that you don't take the kids away from me. I know you don't love me. You shouldn't after what I've done. One of these days, I hope you can forgive me. And she looked at me, Mark, and said, why would I leave you? I love you more than anything. We'll get through this. I forgive you.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the first time after being in church my whole life, I literally got to look Jesus right square in the eye. You know, I tell people, you know, if you ever meet Sandra, I describe her around the world. She's an angel in a woman's suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. My thought was, I want to be like that.
Mm.
And so I started, you know, pursuing. I was doing business consulting. And then one day, I started doing the city reaching. And one day a man asked me, you know, in the consulting, when you consult and own companies, how often do you get these results? And I said, every time. And he said, then why aren't you using this material to your city reaching? And I said, if the leaders really knew me, they would never follow me. But anyway, I went out and did one training, and people said, well, that was better than church or any business thing we've ever been through. Would you do it again? And over time, somebody offered to do a PowerPoint and a manual, and then all of a sudden, here we went. So I continued to do the business consulting, executive coaching, for income, and then started doing the city reaching, where I was able to give my time back to the to the cities. So that's kind of how it happened.
My goodness, what a story. And you're right. I mean, that is a true picture of amazing grace. Your wife's just her ability, the grace that God gave her to forgive and to utter to you what she did. I know that was a moment that you will never forget.
Absolutely. Never forget it.
Wow. Well, Ford, when I got to hear you speak, you're speaking from a person that obviously I didn't know all of the details that you just shared with us, but I could tell that you were speaking from a well of experience. You know, sometimes we have these people that are really great speakers, and you get the feeling, though, that this is a great word. I don't know how well walked out that word is in life. I could tell from your speaking that you have walked out a lot of life, and now I understand just exactly what you did.
Well, thank you, Mike. I, you know, a few years ago, I gave a speech in Washington, D.C. to about 350 leaders, and I stood up on stage and I said, you know, if we as a body of Christ, if we want to have an impact, you know, we're going to have to come together, and it's going to take three things. And I've been saying this for over 20 years, but I said it's going to take, you know, what the enemy does. You know, I tell people, you may have heard me say this in Orlando, you know, we Christians, you know, we're playing checkers while the devil's playing chess. And, you know, we're going to have a common language, you know, with common technology to communicate, and finances. And that day in Washington, I said, here tonight, I officially will lay transformational leadership down at the foot of the cross. It's over. It's finished. If we can all just come together and come up with a common language that we can all agree on, with a common vision, purpose, and mission to help shift our cities and our country. Mm-hmm. And the next speaker after that, and we're dear friends, he got on stage and he goes, now, Ford, you know, we have to use the term mountains. And so we had a lot of fun with that. But last year and the year before, a number of national ministries came to me at different times and said, would you gift this TL material, transformational leadership, to our movement? And I just found it, isn't it just like God to take the one guy that says, I'll throw it all in the trash and we'll start over, to have those leaders come back, you know, 4 or 5 years later and say, if you'll gift that, and now we're getting different movements are starting to work together, and hopefully one day we'll see something bigger than we've seen before. And you saw leaders in Orlando. You were right there with them, you know, with a commitment to do that in their city.
And we're continuing that. There are processes going on. I don't know how closely you've been able to stay in touch with George and Jim from the beautiful work that they do here in Vision Orlando. But George Cope is one of the people that I like to think of him as a city father in Orlando. And all of us were there. And I think the simplest way that I could express what happened to us was just faith was added that what we're doing can go beyond what we have been doing. And I think that's really, if you boil everything down, I think a lot of us in the church today, we've kind of just maybe grown a bit numb. Is that maybe a one way I could say it? In terms of having faith about city revival, about city changing, being, I like your word, being transformed. That's obviously a biblical concept. That's what happened as we heard a lot of this teaching. New faith and new ideas as to how we can get together and bring together the church, the ecclesia, if you will, of Central Florida into a way that we can start targeting and make a real difference. And that's what you're seeing happen city after city.
Yeah, Mike, and what's fun is, you know, in the last, well, and from my viewpoint, you know, 22 years, but from other people even longer, you know, there's been this, what we call a city reaching movement, but there's also been a big movement in what I call the workplace. A lot of people call it the work marketplace. And what we saw in Orlando is, I mean, who wouldn't love George Cope, right?
Yeah, that's right, really.
But anyway, so what happened, as you know, is, you know, Crystal Parker, who is now the president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce in George and Vision Orlando. Actually, Crystal, it was Central Orlando Chamber, but now she's doing it nationally.
That's right.
You know, they came together and combined, which is what Chuck Prophet and I are doing when we go into cities, is we're trying to show people how these two movements merge together, that they're not independent of one another. And because of Crystal and George and the other people there, you and other people in the room, you know, willing to humble themselves to each other, all of a sudden you saw this 97% of the body of Ecclesia, the body of Christ, you know, that definition is actually assembly of decision makers. You know, King James turned to the word church when he wrote the Bible and kind of relegated us to Sunday morning. But it was always supposed to be a movement. But you saw those leaders humble themselves and say, you know, what if we lay our thing down, not give it up? God gave you your logo. Bring your logo to the table and lay it down at each other's feet, and then bring your gift to the table and do it together. What can happen? And we are so blessed to get to see more and more leaders learning to do this.
It is very exciting to hear the stories of how this is changing communities and new faith is added. You know, Ford, if I could get you to kind of speak to the culture for just a second, because you're doing this. You know, it's that old adage that when a person goes to try to sell shoes to a nation that's not wearing them, there are two responses. One, you could say, well, nobody's wearing shoes. But the better one is everybody needs a pair of shoes. And so the potential is limitless. I mean, that's the kind of viewpoint. When a lot of people are looking at our culture today, they're saying, you know, there's just not a lot of hope. But that's not the gospel message at work, is it?
It is not. And it's just, that is not the gospel message. You know, part of the dilemma is, you know, we've been locked into this thing called the Great Commission for so long that we've forgotten that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his justice and righteousness. You can look that up to see that it should probably say both. And, you know, it says, preach the kingdom and signs, miracles, and wonders will follow. You know, raise the dead, heal the sick. Well, when you're not seeking or preaching kingdom, and you're going to the what I call the first and second or second and third leg on the stool, which is preaching the gospel and making disciples. But, you know, he says, preach the kingdom, spread the gospel. That's the love and grace of Jesus, and make disciples of nations. And when you put all three legs on that stool, it has a lot of stability. But if you take any one of those legs off, that stool wobbles. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the church, we've left off the kingdom stool, which is all of society's flourishing. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. We are supposed to bring flourishing and solutions as Christians into our governments, into our classrooms, into our businesses. And so when we started testing this process, if you will, in the first two cities, as we got more accomplished there in 8 months than it took us 13 years to do in the first city, which was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when I reached out to a lot of my consulting clients and told them what happened, and we have more cities that want us to go in, their response was, if you can take what you've done in our companies and our families and do that in cities, we absolutely will fund it. And so we're blessed to be able to go into these cities, and they don't have to come up with any of the money. In other words, it's all prepaid,
wow.
The events,
yeah.
Everything. So when we go into the city, we don't ask them for money. We walk in with the money to put on the event, and that's just a, you know, that's how the kingdom is supposed to work. You know, that's a kingdom perspective of working together across all these different spheres, mountains, streams, mm-hmm. Cultural influences. And so when you talk about culture, and I'm gonna be quiet after this, but if you want to shift the culture of any organization, and I call that two or more people, a family, a marriage, a city, a company, a church, a ministry, or a nation, there's four levels. And one is, it takes new knowledge. And new knowledge gives us a new way of thinking. And from that new knowledge, should we choose to accept it, our attitudes change. You know, that's our feelings. And if our attitudes change, then our behavior changes. And if you can get 3 to 5%, statistically speaking, and it doesn't matter if it's a family, a company, a church, a ministry, or a city, if you can get 3 to 5% of a group, of an organization, 2 or more people that have influence, that's what leadership is, influence with each other, to have a change of knowledge, attitude, and behavior, and pull on the same rope in the same direction towards a common vision, then you get the 4th level of change, which is a cultural change. And that's what we're trying to show people. And we're also trying to give them the tools, not on just what that is, but how to do it.
So just to be careful not to ever indicate new knowledge, meaning a new word that's different from the Word of God. I know that's not what you're meaning. This is not like a Gnostic approach to something. But you're talking about actually applying what the Bible says and the kingdom understanding of the Bible, which in many cities, sadly in many churches, there's a kind of been a move away from some of the real tried and true gospel methods of evangelism and just living out in the kingdom of God, if you will. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about applying, rightly applying, the Word of God. Isn't that right?
Yeah, 100%. And like I say, you'd be amazed the number of people that don't know the word ecclesia and the Greek definition of the word, which was used by the Roman Empire. You know, words like apostle. There's so many words that Jesus used that are all about a movement. You know, there was no local church back then. He could not have meant a building or 4 walls.
That's right.
And I love the local church. Please hear that. I have trained thousands of pastors with this leadership. We've planted thousands of churches in Africa with this training at the center of it. One country, those churches had so much impact that the prime minister called and said, what's different about y'all's churches than the rest of them? And then they brought us in to train the parliament and the cabinet. And it was because of the impact that those churches were having in the country compared to the other churches. So when we apply biblically based kingdom principles into our marriages, raising our children, our businesses, and our cities, you know, when we do our part, God is always faithful to do his part. And so we have to learn how to do our part. But it's very clear, I mean, to me it's clear anyway, where the Bible says, if you'll do this, I'll do this.
That's right.
Well, if we don't do the if, and all we're doing is praying for the then we probably, you know, I hate to say this, we might be wasting our prayers instead of just taking the time to do the if. So little concepts like that. And so anyway, you're right. If we do those biblical kingdom principles, God always shows up with his part.
He does. As my friend Art Alley always says, when it comes down to obeying God's word, he says that this way for it. He says, it only works every time.
I love that. I've never heard it put that way before. I'm stealing that one. I'll give somebody credit.
That's Art Alley right there.
It only works every time.
My guest today is Ford Taylor. I'll be back with Ford in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3578.
Ford Taylor from Transformational Leadership is my guest today. Ford did a 2-day leadership challenge to people across the Central Florida area. A whole bunch of leaders were there, gathered for 2 days. It was like an intensive, and Ford taught from his heart, and he's also going to be teaching, I understand, at the upcoming expo this April in Orlando. For what you were mentioning earlier, the U.S. Christian Chamber, which is run by our good friend Crystal Parker, who's been on my program so many times, and just a great leader in and of herself. She's just amazing. Her faith level, and you know, that's one of the things as a Chamber of Commerce, you expect them to build business. But her heart is, she puts one thing ahead of all of that. In fact, there's two things ahead of it. She builds, first of all, the kingdom, then community, then business. And I think that is such a radically new message and to a great degree, a new approach that a lot of that is catching on in a lot of cities. And that's what you're doing. You talk about a city reaching effort. That's really what you're doing. You're not just going in and trying to pull churches together. You're pulling the body of Christ together as they are separated throughout businesses and in different local churches. That is kind of the concept, right?
That is absolutely the concept, getting the whole kingdom working together, the workplace, which is everybody. That's the kingdom. We all work, whether we're a stay-at-home parent, whether we're homeschooling, we work in government, business, you know, the education system, radio, I mean, whatever it is. You know, the Bible says that your whole body be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, a lot of people know Romans 12:2, which is, so be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can know the perfect, acceptable, pleasing will of God. But very seldom do we teach Romans 12:1, that everything we do is worship. Therefore, we're always supposed to be out being the church, being the ecclesia in every aspect of life. And 100%, you're right on.
Well, it's exciting to think about how communities can come down. You know, there is, we hear the word partisan in politics often when we think about both sides of the aisle, and we'll hear that certain bills are partisanly approached or from a partisan standpoint. Sadly, there have been a lot of that siloing going on in American churches as well. And almost like a lack of, number one, maybe lack of desire to work together with other local churches. But then number two, maybe in some instances, it's just been a lack of awareness that that is part of what God's calling us to do as local churches. We're not just in and of ourselves, but sadly, isn't this true? That is often what is practically happening.
Yes, that is what's happening. And I'll share with you, and you know, when I've spoken to, like I said earlier, you know, thousands of pastors as well as business people, and I'll ask them, how many of you believe that your government, our government, but I do this globally, so America's not the only one that has these government issues that are partisan. And I'll say, how many of you think the government is completely partisan and separated? And, you know, 100% of the hands will go up. And I'll say, well, what area in society is the only one that's worse than the government? And it's the church. And so, you know, wow. we're more divided on theology and, you know, selfishness, and it's about my church more than it is about the city. And I say that with love. There's no judgment in that, because I believe that's kind of what's been going on for hundreds of years. That's what we've been taught to do. And I think when people, like I said earlier, when they have new knowledge around that, you know, they can change their thinking around that, mm-hmm. and shift it over to a different way of thinking, which I believe is a kingdom way of thinking. And then the attitude changes. And when that changes, behavior changes. When behavior changes, well, then we can really get something done.
Now, you began this, like you said, with not having any idea that this was going to turn into the global outreach that it indeed has become. So when you've had that first, let's say, your trial outing as a speaker to these leaders in a city, and I know you mentioned one of them was in Ohio. I can't remember the other one, where it was. But what remembrances do you have as to what some of the leaders, how did they react to this concept that you're bringing?
Well, the Ohio one was like 20 years ago. And then about 3 years ago, we started experimenting with other cities. So the one years ago, it was not well received by many. It was by some. As a matter of fact, I got called in a room and accused of witchcraft.
Oh, wow.
By some pastors. And basically, what they were saying is because there were so many miracles, salvations, different things happening in the companies we were working with and in our ministry building on Fridays, because that's when we met, was on Fridays, that their congregation members were, some of them were going and telling their pastor what was happening. And basically I got called into a room, and in the end it was, you know, I was saying things like a two-legged stool cannot stand. You've got to add the kingdom into the spreading the gospel. You know, we're preaching the gospel. I would say things like, you know, you go to church, at least I grew up in a church like this, and a lot of people did, you know, the good news of the gospel. Find Jesus or burn in hell. And I'm saying, guys, that is not the good news of the gospel, okay? Yeah. That is news, but it's not the good news. And so, you know, they were basically saying, just so you'll know, now, they judged it with 12 judges, and they disagreed with the accuser, so I was found not guilty. But basically, that it was the devil operating through me instead of God, because I was not the senior pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. Again, that's 20-something years ago. Now, a lot of those people are huge fans and very big supporters now of this work we're doing. As a matter of fact, we're going back. We were asked to come back to Cincinnati because I moved away from there. Still have a home there, but don't live there full time. And they've asked me to come back and do this workshop with them again, believe it or not, this April, next month. And then they've asked me to hang around and be their coach like I would with a company for 12 months. And so we have other people that are doing the coaching in the cities also. So we're staying with them. We're not just going in and doing the two-day workshop. And you asked earlier, am I aware of what's going on in Orlando? Absolutely. They keep us very informed. I don't know if you know or not, but I'm actually the chairman of the board of the U.S. Christian Chamber.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, I did hear your name. I wasn't sure that it was chairman. So, yeah, you've got a pretty good in on what's going on.
Well, and again, when Crystal asked me to do that, you know, she wanted to use TL, Transformational Leadership. And so I told her, you know, Crystal, I don't think I should, but I'll be an advisor to you. I'll support you in any way. I love what you're doing. I'm all over it. But I don't really think I should be the chairman if you're going to use TL, you know, in your groups. And her response, you know, Crystal, well, that's exactly why you should be chairman, because you feel that way. You know, so she was lovingly, I don't want to use the word relentless, because she's not that way. She's not, that's a negative word, and she is not negative.
No, she isn't.
But we prayed about it, and even my wife said, honey, you need to lay something else down and go help Crystal with this. So that'll just tell you. In the upcoming event, I mean, just so you know, I think it's so important. I want you to hear this. I think the event that's happening in Orlando with the U.S. Christian Chamber and many leaders, because the board that's assembled for the U.S. Christian Chamber and the speakers that she's assembled for this event, I'm going to tell you how important it is. My wife and I, we had a river cruise planned in Europe. And when Crystal picked these dates, and I said, Crystal, we've already got this cruise planned. And of course, you know, Crystal, then don't worry. I went to my wife and she said, honey, you can't do that. You've got to be there to support Crystal. So I just tell you how important we believe this event is.
Mm-hmm. Canceled a cruise. That's it. Well, this is going to be a really big deal. It was at First Baptist last year. And this year it's going down to one of the parks down in the iDrive area down around Orlando's famous areas of parks. And it's just going to be a beautiful gathering. Like you said, a lot of speakers coming in from all over the country, a varied sense, but a lot of businesses will be there. It's really going to be something, I think, that will kind of fit that bill of being life-changing for a lot of people. I think it can really do just exactly what your Transformational Leadership conferences do. It kind of opens the eyes and think, you know, we've got more potential here than I've been giving this credit for. And that's exactly what you've done. Now, we've talked about the book just a little bit, mentioned the book. Tell me how far into this whole process of city building did you write that book?
You're talking about the Relational Leadership book?
Yes.
Yeah, so started doing the city reaching. So, I mean, I told you I had that client who called me in his room and said, how often do you get those results? And he's the one that taught me into bringing 30 people from around the city into a room and gave them a legal pad and a pen. And we took them through 6 days of training over about a six-month period. And at the end, they said, do it again, did it again. The third time, someone came up and said, would you like some help building a PowerPoint and a manual? And so from there, it kind of took off. And that was all about, around 20 years ago. Wow. And back then, in my journal, actually in the summer of 2002, I thought the Lord spoke to me, shared, laid on my heart, whatever term your theology allows you to hear, that if you'll give me this one and take your skill set and go help everybody else be successful in their businesses and don't try to grow this, I'll take it global, which was confusing for me because I knew how to do that, but God told me, don't do that. Let mm-hmm. him do that this time and me go help other people. And that's what we did. And so in 2016, 14 to 16, I wrote my original VP MOSA, which we don't have time to get into that right now, in the summer of 2000. And in 2016 and 17, I went to a lot of my mentors, bumper buddies, people that I work with, and they all said that, you know, because he told me to leave my name off of it. And they all came and said, we believe God's saying it's time to put your name back on it. So he wants to use your name again. And of course, when my name was out there before, it did not have good results. And I was like, I'm not so sure I want to do that. But so in 2016, we put our training on a digital platform, a virtual interactive training platform. And then 17 wrote the book to go along with the digital. Hmm. I mean, they're independent of each other, but some people like to read, some people like to watch, some people like to listen. So it was 2017 when we published that book. And as you may have heard me say, you know, when we go into companies and governments, you know, we go in with biblical kingdom principles in a manual, a playbook, to show them how to be successful, resolve conflict, remove constraints, communicate, all kinds of different things of the non-common constraints. But it's all biblical principles. We just don't tell them until they ask.
Yeah.
And then the second part of the training is called the missing link, which gives the big, so when we go into denominations or churches or, you know, Christian city region, we can do a combination of both. And so, you know, one is we call plain glass, one is stained glass. When we go in the cities, we combine the plain and the stained to get the practical tools. And then we may tell them, okay, here's where God said this. I'm not that smart. This is God's tool. So.
That's so great. You know, back, you're exactly right about how that the best tools, the very best plan for any type of growth, whether it's a business growth or whether it is a culture growth or whether it is just a moralistic way of living, we all know that the very best thing was once called the good book. I mean, that is what our founders understood, that Judeo-Christian ethic found in the words of the Bible. You know, Ford, I had an opportunity years ago to be a part of a conference that they brought in what was a new term to me back then in the early 80s. It was a motivational speaker that was going to be speaking to our group of radio stations inside Beasley Broadcasting. And we went there and I heard this guy, and man, he was on fire. He was good and he was motivating. But as I sat there and listened for the first couple of days, I realized I know the playbook, to use your term from earlier, that he's drawing his principles from. And you know what? In the very last session, he confided to all of these radio station managers and all of the sales directors that were gathered there in this beautiful resort. He said, what I've been teaching you is purely from the pages of the Bible. And
amen.
That is the very best playbook that anyone could have.
No doubt about it. And again, it's just, you know, I tell people, if you'll learn to read the Bible like you read any other book, you'll be amazed how much sense it makes.
That's right.
You know, we've been taught to read the Bible by the number, and I appreciate the numbers. There's so many different versions. You got to be able to turn to a book, a chapter, a number. You can't say turn to page 27 in Mike or Ford's book. But because we've been taught to read the Bible that way, you know, the very next word might be therefore, or and, or so now, you know, or but. And so, you know, we stop short of the message, short of what it really means.
That's right.
And we can make it say what we want it to say instead of doing what it actually says. And I think if you did any book that way, if you picked up my book and halfway through a sentence, you stopped at the comma and didn't read the rest of the sentence, you'd probably get a different meaning out of it.
And that's right.
Than that, what that paragraph means. So I think because we've been conditioned to do it that way, that we just miss the simplicity and how much is actually in there. That's, you know, you talked about motivational and inspirational, and this is what I'm loving about now working with so many of the leaders. They're starting to realize, you know, that motivation, inspiration on its own, it's just not going to work. And when you combine motivation and inspiration with practical and implementable, and you mix all that together, now you can motivate people to go do something that's practical, makes sense, and implement it. And I think that's the key. That's the difference, is putting all that together.
I agree with you completely. And again, all of that is going to be put right out there for everybody to see and hear and experience when we get to this incredible expo that is coming in April, the U.S. Christian Chambers Expo. And Ford's going to be there. A lot of other people are going to be there. We have Rob Motti on my station here, on our station at the Shepherd, with a program called Faith on the Field. Here's a guy who's taking the kingdom of God, and he is writing about it in the lives of all of the pro sports, the NFL players. He's at one of the most amazing positions. He's the head NFL writer for the AP, the Associated Press. So he's going to be one of the speakers there. We're going to get to hear a plethora of speakers, but basically, we all have one message. That is to take the gospel to the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and take it out to the cities. And we're believing for transformational change in the Central Florida area. And I know you're praying for that as well, Ford.
Absolutely. 100% there. And that all these cities would end up being little bonfires, little lights of hope. And we're actually bringing a lot of these cities together in June, city leaders, city reaching teams, to swap ideas and learn from each other. And so we're excited about that too. And Crystal's a part of that also.
Oh, yeah.
And George is a part of it. So we're very excited about it.
George,
the impact.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a wonderful guy. Ford, I'm out of time with this segment. I do thank you. I know you've got another meeting to run off to. It is great. I look forward to seeing you at this conference in April, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And again, thank you for the impact you're having. I'll see you next month.
Okay. God bless you. Ford Taylor, I'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
One of the friends that we have in Central Florida, and they've been with us since the day I moved back to Gainesville. In fact, I knew Matt Staver before then, met him up in Gainesville years ago. Matt Staver leads the Liberty Council. Sometime back, Matt and Anita Staver had a heart to see a school be developed, and it would be run by Liberty Council. And that school became reality in Covenant Journey Academy. It is a school that represents the freedoms and liberties that our country was founded upon. I've got on the line today Michelle Archival, who is at one point was on our show as the Director of Admissions. Michelle is now the recipient of a new title. She's the Director of Strategic Partnerships. So it's with great excitement that I welcome back Michelle Archival. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Mike. Always a pleasure to be on the station with you and being able to talk to you about what we're doing.
You know, it's again our joy to do that. This whole thing of Covenant Journey School, tell us a little bit about the idea that Liberty Council invested in making this thing come about. How did that happen?
Well, this is something, it hasn't even been a year yet since we rolled out, but in May of last year was when we announced Covenant Journey Academy. But it's something that God really put on Matt and Anita's heart for such a time as this. And we're doing great as far as enrollment and getting the interest of the families. But it's just something that, I mean, you turn on the news, you read in the paper, you see this attack on this generation, and this is an answer to prayer for many families.
I think it is as well. And, you know, you were talking about the attack from the left and the just like the general malaise that's going on in schools around the country. I'm just always amazed. I shake my head a lot of times when I'm reading articles or when I hear reports about what feels like shenanigans going on in the name of education. For example, today, just today, I saw a kind of a headline out of the UK that they have now over there blocked puberty blockers in kids. And, you know, our schools in America would have seemingly taken on, in the last couple of years, the role of being proponents for such things as that by helping these students that might come to a teacher and say that I'm feeling a bit confused about my gender, etc. And all of a sudden, they're on a fast track without any knowledge given to the parents, without any consultation with mom and dad. These schools are often out there talking and kind of presenting a worldview that is anything but a Christian worldview. And I know that that's one of the reasons that Matt and Anita would have had a heart for Covenant Journey Academy is because of the fact that parents, these kids, they need help. They need help. Parents
absolutely
need help.
And as you've mentioned, Mike, education in the public schools has become less about the basics like math, reading, English, and history, and it's more about pushing a radical agenda.
Yeah, indoctrination is the word that is often used, and it really
absolutely
is difficult. And Michelle, I know you would agree with this. You're a person very familiar with the media. I know that you've actually done a lot of TV commercials yourself. You're a singer and a Christian artist. You've done a lot of these things. You're seeing around you the peers that I know that you have in your generation. It looks a lot different now than it would have 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. Is that not right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that has come up is we never had to worry about a man walking into a woman's bathroom growing up, you know, and that's something that unfortunately children have to be concerned about these days and families.
And again, I go back to the news media. Every time I see an article, read one of these yesterday, about an employee being fired because they prohibited a transgendered person from going into the girls' bathroom. And so here's a guy saying he's identifies as a woman, and he goes in. The employee stopped him. Well, that employee's fired. And it's like the whole industry of common sense has gone out the window.
Absolutely, I agree.
Well, I know that that is what pushes and drives you guys. So tell us about the general makeup about Covenant Journey, because as I recall, it's more virtual than it is actual in terms of being in a particular building or whatever. Is that not right?
Yes, that's correct. So Covenant Journey Academy is 100% online. We're available 24/7, 365, anywhere in the world. And we offer more than 150 courses, all taught by certified teachers.
So,
along with 30 college courses taught by qualified university faculty as well.
Wow. Okay. And you offer the full range of all classes and all subjects to fulfill all requirements, right?
Correct.
And so the kids are able to do what they had to do during, you know, this whole thing about a lot of forced homeschooling that happened in the pandemic. A lot of parents, they didn't want to be a homeschooler, but they became one in the sense of housing their kids in their home while their kids were in some sort of online education. So what are the detractors saying about Covenant Journey or schools like yours? What criticisms would they bring that we would both know are not founded? What would they be?
Well, there's been things like kids don't get as much interaction or the parents don't know how to do homeschooling. But we believe that parents have the fundamental right to direct the upbringing, education, and care for their children. And so we come alongside them to support them in any way that we can so that doing homeschool is actually something that is doable for the parents and they feel supported, so it doesn't feel impossible.
One of the things that I've talked to a lot of parents, and there's a lot of frustration with a lot of families in the country, and that would be reading comprehension. It seems to be dropping at a massive rate. There's like a lot of kids for the first time in maybe our lifetimes, a lot of American kids are not passing the most basic of tests that would kind of be used as standardized tests to find out how the development or what level they're reading at. Would that be what you found as well with a look at the public school system in America?
Absolutely. Yes, that's been something that the parents, that's been one of the concerns that the parents have had when they contact us. And they love the fact that we have the certified teachers that give the children that one-on-one when they meet with them, when they need it to go over different things. But not only that, them being able to rest assured knowing that their children are getting a good quality education.
So your new role, tell us about that. What is involved in the Director of Strategic Partnership?
So with the Director of Strategic Partnership position, I'm able to work with donors who can contribute to support Covenant Journey Academy to help get scholarships and grants for these families that this may not be affordable for them right now, especially if they have more than one child, to actually be able to help those families. And I'm really excited about this. And we actually got some great news yesterday. We put out a PR that we were awarded $1 million matching grant.
Now that's a big deal.
Yes, it is. We're super excited.
What's the term, the span of time that this is good for?
For a year. So
okay.
We have a year to match that matching grant.
Now, we hear this a lot with organizations that are doing fundraisers or telethons or share-a-thons where people will have a matching grant. But basically, this is a legit thing. I mean, it sounds sometimes maybe a gimmick, like a gimmick plan, but it's really not. There are organizations like what I know, the one that has blessed this with you, and they are remaining anonymous. Yeah. But this organization... Mm-hmm. is basically matching up to $1 million. And that means that if anybody gives 10, that becomes 20 and so forth. And so that's obviously a quick way to gain $2 million now, if you guys could be successful in matching that one. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yes. So the investment that any of these donors make will literally change lives for generations because so many more families will be able to attend and get a good quality Christian worldview education.
How many students do you have right now, Michelle?
We're currently at about 40, which, like I said, Covenant Journey Academy has not been in existence for a year yet. Almost in May, it will be a year.
Now, being that it's a virtual school, what would you see as the desired goal? Is there a number? Is there a limit? Is there a ceiling on how many students you could have?
Oh, no, there's no cap. No.
Wow. So this thing could just go on and on and on, and it's basically available to any parent, any child. What are the requirements now? I know there would have to be, a few agreements that the parents would have coming in. What would that be?
They would do an interview or to do a demo with our admissions department so that they can see the courses. And then if depending on where the families are located, there's different things. For Florida, they require just records of immunization and their birth certificate and things like that. And then we would need a copy of their transcripts.
All right. So all of the typical things, I guess, that most schools would ask.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that sounds pretty cool. What about, do they just watch it on a tablet or a computer then? Is that what happens?
Yes. So it's all online. So it's 100% online. But the good thing about our program is that it's on your schedule. So they don't have to log on at a certain time. So it works really well for the families on the go, or if they have other things going on in the morning where they want to do it in the afternoon. It's very flexible.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know that you were at the recent NRB. What was that like for you to be there?
Oh, it was amazing. I met so many great people and made so many connections with so many people. And it was just exciting to see so many people who love the Lord coming together with different organizations and just supporting each other. It was really great.
Oh, that's great. I know I enjoy it as well. I've been going for years, and it is without a doubt one of the greatest gatherings of people that are media people and communicators. And so obviously people who are not in broadcasting per se, like yourself, but in education, yes, can also find a great benefit by attending this thing. With me, Michelle Archival from Covenant Journey Academy. That is a school that is run by the Liberty Council. I know you've got a kind of a neat program, and it's an affiliate program as well. We've got just enough time to tell about that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Sure. So our affiliate program, in addition to homeschool, Covenant Journey Academy also offers Christian school affiliation options, and CJA can provide all or part of your Christian school program, which includes online courses taught by CJA certified teachers. So this is something that would greatly benefit the churches. Most churches have an empty room within their church, so if they don't have the funds to build a whole school, you can bring the school right into your church by just using one of the rooms there, almost like the one room schoolhouse.
And again, because of the fact that you're able to do so much more in that one room, in light of the fact that you've got all they would need in there is a big screen TV. And the kids are, instead of seeing a live teacher, they're taking part in that one-room schoolhouse with all of these other qualified, certified teachers that are in every subject that's needed.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds great. How can people find out more if there are parents out there, they're wanting to check out Covenant Journey Academy? How do they do that?
They would go to cj.academy and request information or request a demo, and we would be happy to help.
Wow, that's simple.
DJ.academy. Mm-hmm.
All right, Michelle Archival, thank you for being with me today. And
thank you so much.
We wish you the best, and say hello to Matt for me, okay?
Yes, thank you so much, Mike.
And friends, that's all of our time for today. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.